Well, welcome to somewhat of a belated Victory Monday edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show at Flowery Branch, because, and we were just talking about this a moment ago, Coach, it seems like a month ago Thursday night, I guess, right?
It does, and once you have that game, you're ready to go through it to the next one. So today what we did with the team, went back obviously through the corrections from our Tampa game and then tried to get a jump start. We love the process we go through to get ready each week, and the guys came back with great energy today. And we look forward to that process we go through. That's their responsibility to one another, to help get each other ready. And we're looking forward to a great challenge this week.
I know you wanted them to get out of the building for a couple of days. Were
you
able to accomplish that? Because this is a group that wants to go to work, isn't it?
They did. And we knew our readiness, you know, on a short week was going to be really important. We'd have to still, you know, get our work in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to play well against a good division team in Tampa. So we knew our work would be cut out, but I love the energy the guys had. They played really fast in the game, and it showed, I thought, as the game wore on.
I know the process is important to the overall success of this team, and it's important to keep that dynamic in place. After going through a sequence of weeks, eight in fact, where everything was along in a regimented scale, even though you might have been going West Coast, things like that, you then had the short week task.
Right.
Now you have a bit of a long week, and then after Sunday in Philadelphia, you have an entire break. Do you worry about the checks and balances, I guess?
I don't, because each day, you know, with this team, it's right back to work.
Okay.
And, you know, for us, we got right back to the process. We love to get ready. And then, all of our focus this week is on Philadelphia. So it just allows us to have a couple extra days to get that preparation underway. But the team's in a good spot, and we can't wait to go get ready.
Know how singularly focused you are, and I know you had moved on to the next game by probably midday on Friday. So maybe the film helps us a little bit, help you reflect back. You want to dominate the line of scrimmage, and it certainly looked like against this team that didn't happen maybe in game one to your satisfaction. It did in this game.
Well, I thought we're a much better version of ourselves than we were in week one. And we've improved, you know, over the last 8 weeks, offensively, defensively, on teams. We still got a lot of work to do. And in fact, you know, our goal this week, can we get 1% better? And each, you know, specific unit finding some things to work on. But I would say we're a much better version of ourselves. We had much better balance offensively. We were able to run. We love the explosive plays that we had, both in the run game and the pass game. And then defensively, it was good to get on board with a couple of turnovers, and I thought that was a real factor in the game.
It really seemed like the physical part of the game, that sometimes maybe that's the last part to come because you're still thinking and you can't turn it loose.
Yep.
It came to bear on Thursday night, especially on a couple of big hits that kind of resonate through the whole game. I mean, the big hit, even though Evans makes a circus catch along the sideline, Keanu O'Neill drops the hammer on him. And then
we've come to expect that from him.
Yeah. Well, and then Jalen Collins, who you finally get on the field and playing some meaningful minutes for you, not just on special teams, unlocks the quarterback at the goal line to where he didn't know where he was. Those are some of those physical plays you're looking for.
Yep, and we're going to live that life and be a really tough team and try to out-hit each opponent that we play, beat him to the punch, so to speak. And the thing that we now need to do is finish better. And when we got a team that you have them ahead and you get a chance to finish them off, we weren't pleased defensively with the way the game ended. We were very pleased with our effort. But when it comes to that time to close the door, we've got to be able to do that better. And so we're aware of that. We talk about that. We have those conversations. And it's something that we'll continue to work on as we're trying to get better each week throughout the season.
You said you expect that from Keanu O'Neill. Do you expect it from Jalen Collins?
I didn't expect it, but I know he has it in him because he is a bigger guy. You know, he's over 6'2", he's 200 pounds. And so for him, you know, it was a good, clean hit, both of them. Mm-hmm. And for us ability to shoulder tackle like we want to, we think you can be tough as hell and still be really physical without putting your head into the contact. And I thought those two examples were really clean hits and really hard. And that's the type of style we want to play.
Head Coach Dan Quinn on the Coach's Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Q, when you look at the numbers that your offense is putting up, yet you're leaving stuff on the table.
Yep.
I mean, I felt for Josh Perkins because it was a great chance for him to get in the end zone on his first professional catch. Looked like he may have jumped a little bit too soon. Matt may be a little bit too tall with a throw, but still, there was that opportunity. There was several opportunities that were left out there that the offense didn't execute on to your satisfaction, probably.
And, so we've got work to do. Third down for certainly is one, but that's the thing that keeps you driving to come back for more, because we've left things out there. We think we can get a lot better, not a little better. We think we can get a lot better on all three phases. So that's what we try to detail with the guys today and now on the practice field today, specifically what some deliberate things you can practice to improve your game. And honestly, that's where our focus is.
Of course, the Falcons will visit Philadelphia on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and our countdown to kickoff begins with Mike Conte and Ryan Cameron at 11 a.m. We got into the conversation on the air Thursday night in the fourth quarter about some emerging storylines in your football team. And one is a veteran guy in Adrian Claiborne.
Yep.
And it kind of came to notice on Thursday night because Tampa was the place that originally drafted him. I know health is one thing. He's been, knock on wood, pretty yep. healthy the last couple of years. But there's also something about being an older guy as a professional football player, and everybody's line of improvement or slate of improvement can differ.
Yep.
What is it about Adrian Claiborne? And he seems to mean a lot to this defense and a lot to this locker room from that perspective.
He does, and we totally count on him. His teammates totally count on him. He is one of our most rugged guys. He is tough, and he brings that type of intensity all the time. It's at mm-hmm. practice. It's at the game. And so his teammates have grown accustomed to that toughness that he brings. And I wouldn't say they feed off it, but they understand he brings a certain edge to our group, and we love that. So having different roles for the team, his way to relentlessly finish, that's an important one. He's been a good combination along with Beasley and Freeney. We're trying to improve upon our pass rush, but his mindset sets him apart. And I think the more you play in a system like he is now, he has much more familiarity mm-hmm. with it. And we're going to try and feature him playing on that right side where he's at his best.
The other one I mentioned to Dave the other night was Courtney Upshaw. Here's a guy comes in the league as a linebacker, maybe gets too big or is too big to play linebacker, yet you have found his sweet spot, it looks like.
We just try to find the things that the guys can do best, not what they can't do, mm-hmm. but what they can do. And Court is big and he is strong. And so when we first brought him in, we thought he'd play outside backer or our Leo position. It turns out that Claiborne and Brooks Reed were doing well there, and we wanted to find a spot for him. So by moving him inside to a nickel defensive tackle, it was unfamiliar to him, but he was plenty strong enough. He had the skill set to do it. At over 295 pounds, he's able to play inside and play with quickness. So I just feel like his arrow at that position is going to keep going up.
Yeah, and I keep watching for those incremental improvements that you talk about. Can we be better each day, 1% better each day? And as you get to the end of the week, maybe you add 10% or 7% better than you were the week before. And that seemed to bear out on your defense on Thursday night because there were some times where they were really struggling maybe to hold serve against yep. Green Bay, whereas on Thursday night you could see the sense of urgency lock in. Maybe when your offense didn't close with a touchdown, they had to kick a field goal, they sensed that we got to come out and get a stop. They took that area of business.
They did, and you really saw it. They took right down the field, Tampa did, on the first drive. And the guys came off the field. They were disappointed. They were mad, you know, that we allowed some third downs to take place. And they wanted to come back out, and that's when some of the turnovers took place. And it wasn't a finger-pointing. It was more an accountability, like we've got to be able to do this better. And that's why I'm excited for this group and where they're headed.
A lot of momentum about your football team beyond this building and beyond that locker room. How important is it to kind of keep that in perspective and stick to your process, as you talk about?
Yeah, I think that is important, and it's the connection that the players have to one another. That's what, you know, they have to answer to and be responsible for. So they take that responsibility seriously to get ready and play. And when you're able to just keep that focus on this week and not even look too far ahead, but how can we get better, it allows for some of the outside noise to stay outside and knowing that we're accountable to all the guys inside the locker room.
Once you get into a mid part of the season, it seems in my experience, an offensive line begins to take on an attitude.
Sure.
And when you rush for 100 and almost 140 yards the other night, there's an attitude attached to that. And I think they were a little bit upset with the way things went in week one.
No
and
doubt.
As you mentioned, you're much better than you were in week one. But you sense there's a little bit of an attitude to that group up front.
I do. And we were not able to have the balance that we liked in the first game. And so we went back through. And, in fact, I asked the line coaches, what do you see different? And it was a great line to say, it's not as much different, but we can do better. And the players certainly recognize it. When we put that tape on at the beginning start of last week, our combinations are better in the mm-hmm. run game. We do a lot of repetitions in our zone game of the center guard combinations, the guard tackle combinations, the tight end tackle combinations, so backside, front side. Now that they've had more and more and more reps together, that communication is better. And I continue to see that part will continue to improve.
Did you notice this was – I know Austin kind of was the pseudo starter. Levine plays a ton for you as well in your set, so maybe one or the other. But Austin gets a chance to play, and you guys call him California Cool, and it just seemed like he just kind of slid in there like he was supposed to be in there.
You know, and that way he was that way from the time he got here. He missed our OTAs. Stanford runs a quarter system, so he wasn't able to participate in any of the OTAs until we got to the minicamp. And by the time he got to minicamp, he had very few busts, you know, when we got into it. So you can tell that the football part he worked at, number one, and that it was not going to be too big for him. We've got a big playbook. And when he came in with very few busts, he wanted to do extra with Matt and stay out, you know, after practice or go out before. He is a football junkie, you know, where Wade, his tight end coach, okay, take 5 minutes, we'll come back. He was wanting to stay in there. He had questions to ask. So it does not surprise us or his teammates that he was able to step in like he did.
It's interesting, worth noting, because Dan and I get a chance to speak on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. talk about what's coming up the following week, obviously, and get a chance to see some post-practice where Dan continues to coach. I got to pull him off the field to get the interview. but you could see Austin and Keanu Neal.
Yep.
Just off on a field by themselves, working on it. Keanu wanted to work on that over route where he could turn his hips and run.
Yep.
Austin was facilitating that, and Austin wanted to do work. Really cool, two young guys
right,
working
without
on the
game coaches
like that.
There. That's, yeah. That's when you know you're making an impact. And I saw, you know, firsthand last week, I saw the offense, you know, the quarterbacks and the receivers and the running backs. They were doing some things together before the special teams, you know, began to say they wanted to go through a couple more plays. So that's when that's a good sign for us when we see those guys doing the work on their own without us there.
All right, Eagles coming up on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Teron Ward's a guy to me the last couple of weeks. Tevin Coleman's injury has allowed him a chance to contribute to your
right.
team. And we always talk in preseason about the back end of the roster and how important that is, and you guys getting in the room and deciding how the 53 is going to work, let alone the inactives on a game day. But a guy like Ward kind of capsules, I think, what you're building here. Not just this year, but what he's done last year and his stick-to-itiveness to want to be a part of something like
There's
this.
There's a number of guys that stand out. Leroy Reynolds has been that way. Sean Weatherspoon was there into that same guy. Kamal Ishmael is someone, you know, we've asked to start games at safety, start games at linebacker. And so we knew when Teron had his opportunity, we didn't know when it would come, but when it came, we knew he'd be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very good competitor. And even as a rookie last year when he made the team as a, you know, undrafted free agent, there was a certain edge about him that proved he was more mature than the average rookie. And that continued into this year. For him, his setback was, you know, his time on the practice squad to go work on his hands, work on the things that he had to.
Right.
And then when his opportunity came, there was no one else we were going to turn to other than Ward about the work that he had put in.
The 16-game schedule is a battle of attrition. Anybody that watches the game for very long understands that. And you guys have done such a good job of building the strength of your roster from 1 to 53, and then you even add in the guys that are on practice squad
right.
to that mix. There's always going to be guys go down. You've already seen it. Keon Neal isn't able to play. Kamal Ishmael stands in as
yep.
a giant for you defensively. There's a chance maybe Dez doesn't go. Trufant might not be able to go for you. I know you're very comfortable with what C.J. Goodwin's been doing. Obviously, Jalen Collins
yep.
back in the mix, so you're very comfortable with that scenario.
We are, and that part for us that we go through to get ready, we actually look at the roster like a 63-man roster with the practice squad and the development guys that are there. There's a great number of them that if we had room on the active roster, they would be up. That's how committed we are to them and to their process of getting ready. So we'll just take it through the week and see how the injuries look, and if we have to bring somebody up, we will. But we're very confident in the group that we have.
Well, you look ahead to Sunday, and we'll get an early word on this because here's Philadelphia off a disappointing loss, I'm sure, in New York, and they've now lost two straight, both road games in division. And here's this young rookie at quarterback, a guy who was highly thought of, obviously, out of North Dakota State, who's come in, and they must have felt pretty good about him or they wouldn't have traded the guy that was the starter to
That's
Minnesota,
right?
Right?
And 8 games in, you know, he certainly doesn't look like he's playing as a rookie.
Mm-mm.
They give him the whole offense and all the things that go along with it. I think Doug does a terrific job, the different personnel packages they use, the run game, the screen game. Sproles has been a heck of a, you know, running back catcher out of the backfield forever. So they've got a bunch of guys to challenge us, and I thought it's a real sign for a quarterback when there's nothing, you know, they're not trying to manage the game with this fella. They're trying to go win the game. And we got our work cut out for us. We recognize, you know, the things that we have to do well as well.
Yeah, the stage certainly doesn't seem like it's too big for Carson Wentz and what he's been able to do at quarterback. I think they went for it on 3 or 4 fourth downs yesterday, and he was fine. Stood in there and made
yep.
some throws, did some things. When you look at their defensive side of the ball, and maybe the side right now for Philly, that's where they're buttered, the bread's buttered, pretty good defensive front.
Yeah.
They're pretty good in the red zone. Like sixth in the league in scoring defense. What do you see from that side,
just
in a thumbnail?
That personnel, I thought, right down the middle, very good defensive line. This linebacker group is very active and strong. Their safeties are really talented. So, like, right when you're looking down the barrel of this thing, you know, whether it's the inside guys like Cox, the linebackers, the safeties, that to me is where this team totally jumps out. I think they play with speed. They play with toughness. And a lot of those guys play on their special teams unit, and they are very good in special teams as well.
I think one of the interesting dynamics is this is the first game from a year ago, and in kind of putting together some of the early work today, a good bit of the rosters on both sides have changed.
I mean,
they've done a lot, and granted, I know Coach Peterson's first-year guy, Chip Kelly obviously moving on, but the kind of the reinvention of what they're doing along with what you're trying to do here, it shows up when you start putting the card together.
It does look quite a bit different at some spots, and then there's – certain parts of their game, you know, the way they feature, you know, three wide receivers and the running back the same, and they have a quarterback who's, you know, athletic enough to move, so that part seems familiar. But at the end of the day, it'll be the matchups this week and this year, but one we're looking forward to.
Dan, did you get a chance to – do you do any of that? Do you peek at them when they're watching – when you maybe had a little bit of time watching them on television?
Yep, you definitely did to try and, you know, get another perspective at it and get started. So – we'll go and look at the whole season for them. You know, now they've had 8 games under their belt, and we've had, you know, half a season under our belt. So they'll do the same with us and you know, which ways we're going to attack. But honestly, all 3 phases for us, you know, we're going to attack. And they've got good special teams, so do we. They've got a good offense, so do we. And we're going to be ready to match up in all phases.
Coach, one of the things that's come about with this team here, and I guess it's really come to the surface with the fans here in the last month or so, is the Brotherhood campaign. This team's been introduced collectively now, the last 2 home games. Why are we not hearing more about it? Is it an inside the house thing?
It's definitely not. In fact, I think our fanhood is part of the Brotherhood. And it's the way they can make this dome as loud as we could possibly make it. This is our last season in the Georgia Dome. Mm. And why not raise the roof off it in every chance we get and make it the most loud, competitive environment in all of football? So we love the energy that our fans bring to the team, and we feed off their energy as well. And hopefully we can provide some excitement for them. But having a home field advantage like we have, it's significant, and knowing that the fans are such a big part of it. Although we're on the road this week, we love hearing, you know, when our fans travel, we certainly heard them in Tampa. And as a team and as a coach, when you hear that, it gives you a lot of pride knowing that our group's behind us. But that's been a goal for here for as long as this season goes. How can we make it more loud every single chance we get this season?
Q, no one's talked more about team concept and what it is to be a part of the team than you have. That's the culture you've brought in here. And I know you're excited, announcement today by the Atlanta Falcons that Thomas Dimitroff had reached a new 3-year deal to stay on as the general manager. You guys are in lockstep trying to put this roster together, bring talent in here. I know you're probably pretty excited about that.
I certainly am. And it, for us, we were both looking for a partnership that we could just, you know, continually try to be on the same page with the team and all decisions we make, you know, best for the team. And it took time to go through and explain the vision of, you know, how we'd like to feature the players and what we both like to look for in the players, what a guy can do, not what he can't do. And it makes it way more fun to go scouting when you're both looking for the same thing. If we have disagreements on guys, we put the tape on and look at them until we see it, you know, in the same light. So it's been exactly the partnership I'd hoped for as a head coach and a general manager. And our goal is honestly to do it better than it's been done between those two, you know, between a head coach and a general manager. That's a lofty goal, but we're going to go for it in every way.
Well, I know you're excited to get back going on Sunday, huh?
No doubt. We can't wait. And another tough NFC opponent, so we'll be ready.
All right, Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.